This is a podcast of Brussels Jazz Alert. In this episode, we talk with Cow Trio. Cow Trio is an instrumental project based in Brussels, consisting of André Breitlid on the drums.
Instead of saying fuck, we fucked it up, now can I swear on this podcast?
Matteo Genovese on bass.
So if I have a good espresso in the morning, I play well. If I don't have my coffee, I feel like really bad.
And Jan Jansen on keys.
Oh yeah, Jan, come on.
Let's do it. 3, 2, 1. Did all of, well, the rest of middle school and high school together in Brussels, actually. But none of us are from Brussels, so we shared that together and we played music together there.
Okay, I think we have to tell it. We were in a school rock band together. That is called Voodoo Jam. You can check it out on iTunes. That's the only place you find it. Because back then iTunes was hip. We played already at Flaget, we played at Botanique.
They were nice experiences because we played in very nice venues. But after that, we always played together in different kind of scenarios, but we never really had like a serious project. Like somehow now there was the possibility to do so. I guess maybe also because of the pandemic somehow.
Well, I guess for a while we were all going a bit our own musical path, but I mean we all kept in touch, and then we were like, okay, we gotta get back together now, you know?
Andre was telling me, yeah, let's just go somewhere, you know? Let's just take the car and just go, because we were really tired of being in Brussels during the pandemic. We felt really suffocating. And so we just, what do we do? And there was the opportunity to go visit Jan in Germany.
For me it was... That was just a more hangout holiday jam. I wasn't really planning. Like, I mean, I got microphones to record it, but I never recorded something properly in the basement there, and I didn't think we were even gonna release it.
Basically, the whole thing started really for fun. We made this really garage band recording. That sounded, I mean, it still sounds nice, and it has its own vibe, its own sound.
Once we then brought it out and we saw the feedback that came from a lot of people, then I realized, okay, shit, actually, let's keep this going, let's make a serious thing out of it.
I mean, in a way, it all, like, snowballed, because, like you said, it was, like, jamming and just reconnecting a bit also as friends and all this kind of stuff, and then it just went really well, in a way, so... And then with the help of Vault and everything, we said, okay, here we are.
We are from different countries, and we form an international trio.
It's kind of like a very jazz thing also to just be called trio. And I guess it's because that's where a big source of inspiration comes from. There's plenty of very famous trios that are just incredible. And I think in a trio, you have everything you need. Like, of course, it's nice to add other instruments. That's what we do. But the rhythm section, it's us. It's us three.
It's just like making bread, and then you add the sauce on top. The sauce is the guest. We are the bread.
We all studied something different. So Matteo has a master in astronomy, right? Or something similar, bio whatever. Andre also in biochemistry, and I did a master's in politics and economics. But actually Andre was the first to break out of it, and he started, we all studied in Maastricht, we also lived together. Then Matteo a year later started studying jazz, and I was like, oh, maybe I also try my luck, and I also got it in conservatory in Maastricht.
Since high school, we were those few people that really were like passionate about music in general, like playing music. And so in the end, if you have a passion in common, you just spend more time.
There's in a way less pressure if you're playing with friends, I think. Because you also know, like, you're not just spending, sometimes when you play with just other professionals, then feel like, okay, you're also taking their time, and this way you know, okay, I'm also spending time with my friends, and I know they enjoy spending time with you. So there's not just the thing of, okay, we got to figure this thing out because time is happening. No, it's just like you're also hanging out at the same time.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's always fun. I never feel like, oh, maybe they don't want to be here right now or something like that, you know? Because even if we don't feel like playing music, sometimes that can happen. Then you go outside and you hang out as just friends and you forget about the music for a second.
First of all, we really like grooves that can be inspired from hip-hop, funk, even, yeah, really 90s music like hip-hop. We like to listen to a lot of hip-hop. So imagine we just take the sound of that, and on top we put elements of jazz.
All the sounds, all the beats, like we do together, that's really hip-hop inspired. And the way we are progressing as a band is also hip-hop inspired, but new hip-hop. So before we went more for like Dilla beats and stuff, and now we're going a bit more also for trap and modern stuff. But it's always still that part of music. It's always basically instrumental hip-hop. There's I don't know, instrumental jazz hip-hop. That's really what I would call it, actually.
We just made a beat tape, that's our first EP. And then we moved on thinking that we wanted to try, we were feeling like making full compositions. And we had the idea of inviting guests, and that's the second EP. In the future, I think, have different themes to the EPs we record. Now, for instance, we're going to record an EP that sounds very groovy, but we have this one guest, Max, the sax player, who's going to play on every track. But just that EP, it's going to be with him. Just this one guest. Maybe in the future we change guests. Maybe in the future we have no guests. Maybe in the future we have three guests. We don't know. It's just very spontaneous. What we feel to do in the moment, we do. Thank you.
might be that we rehearse for a week straight, and then, or even a month straight, and then we don't play for a little while, you know, and we do other stuff, and then we come back.
Yeah.
So it's always like compact. Instead of rehearsing every week or whatever, it's rather like 5 days in a row, and then.
When we work, we don't necessarily put like a fixed objective to what we need to do. We just try to see what comes out. And depending on that, after, the objective creates itself. So good coffee, it's really important. My mama's coffee. Ciao, mama. because I'm a bit picky about coffee, but it can change my day. So if I have a good espresso in the morning, I play well. I mean, most of the time. If I don't have my coffee, I feel like really bad. So that's the first thing. I guess we all need to be fresh, you know? There's some people in the trio that party hard. Without naming anyone. And just being physically healthy, I guess it's important. Because you can really see when someone's tired or it's not focused. You know, just being healthy mentally and physically. That makes a good rehearsal.
Or something super loud. That's fine. That's why it sounds awesome.
Volta makes it possible to have great rehearsals in the first place, you know. Volta is such an amazing place that thanks to Volta we can really just have long residencies and in a way also take it easy. We have the room for the whole day. There is no like time constraint.
Yeah, it might be that we're not inspired in the morning. We take a break and then in the afternoon it comes, you know, which you don't have the opportunity in almost any other rehearsal situation. Perfect day for me is that we just get to play the whole day and there's no pressure about saying, let's play it again. It's okay, you can play it again because there's time. You can take an hour break and you can say, okay, you can have your coffee and then you can come back, you know, and try it again. Instead of saying, fuck, we fucked it up, now can I swear on this podcast?
Usually there's some of us that starts the jam. Can be Andre on with a beat or I guess we have this thing that really helps us out that really comes from the garage rock scene, which is the garage band that's not so common in jazz. What we see in this school or other schools is like the leader who brings out the music for every musician and says, you play this, you play that, and then you just perform it and you go home. While we do it in the rock and roll way, which is just going inside the room and try things out together and coming out with things together and fixing the form together after like many, many days of practice. Jan, come on.
Let's do it. 3, 2, 1.
It was just like, let's all say something like on three, and we went 1, 2, 3, and it just came out from everyone. Like, there was no question about it, basically.
We invoked the power of the cow to protect us and to guide us on stage. We just get really in the zone, you know? Like, ready to, you know, to get hyped, you know, and go on stage really hyped. And I get so much adrenaline, you know, that, of course, they want me to take the mic most of the time, but I'm full of adrenaline, and I start shouting in the mic. And I can't control it because I'm, like, so hyped that it's just what comes out naturally. And then they complain, oh, but don't say those things in that way. But I can't do anything about it. I'm just so, like, the way I talk is like my mood, you know? The way I am feeling in the moment. I guess the best part of us is when we play live, for sure. It's like whatever we record is subject to change, because maybe we have a concert and we decide to change the form just for that one concert. And then we change it again and again and again. So we put more value in the live performance right now. It keeps the thing going and fun, you know? And you see how people react. And that's also nice, and depending on where you play. Like this one time we ended up playing at La Nature Festival, and we thought we were beginning the tune with a very loud song, and we thought they were going to, like, you know, like, dance immediately. But the thing is that you are at a techno festival, so they have different standards of what loud is.
I like the fact that it was super spontaneous, like, we had a set list planned. We didn't play, like, we played the first two tunes, then we realized, okay, guys, let's stop playing jazz here. And then we just started that groove, and then we just couldn't end because people were dancing so much that we just kept on going.
But maybe because of COVID times that we can do it, that we have more time to prepare a gig. If we had a lot of gigs in a row, we wouldn't do this maybe. We would just fix, I don't know, we wouldn't have the time to just reshape the concept of our performance.
But also we're still a pretty new band, and there's still time. We still like to invest time in really, like, we have our sound. I think it's pretty clear, but like, to even go dig deeper into it. And now we have time to do that. So, and if we have more concerts, you know, fingers crossed, then we won't maybe have that time. And from now we gotta, you know, really invest that time.
This podcast is supported by Sabam for Culture, the Nationale Loterij, and the Brussels Capital Region. Want more? Listen to the other podcasts of Brussels Jazz Alert and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. That way, you'll stay up to date with our free concerts, new musical discoveries, and great spots in Brussels.